Dor gets himself a new phone and finds some beautiful apps to play on that beautiful new screen. Next on Android App Addicts. Hey geeks, welcome back to the Android App Addicts podcast. This is episode number 523. This is your show for Android news, hardware, and apps. We've been around for 523 episodes now. Thanks for joining us. And tonight it is myself, Eric, the manager, Ardini, and door-to-door geek, Steve McLaughlin. Door, how are you doing tonight, sir?
Hey, man. I will say this, as good as can be expected. Normal ups, normal down. I'm not a millionaire. I'm not in the hospital, you know, hovering somewhere in the middle. Do you know what I found out the other day, Eric? I found out per population of the world, if you just take everybody as an equal amount, if we in America are making more than $20,000 a year, technically speaking, we are part of the 1%.
In the world? Yeah.
In the world.
Okay, since we're doing amazing facts about weird numbers.
Well, I don't know about amazing.
That means a lot of 1%. I mean, that means a lot of people out there. Because
So all those people who were like on the street protesting the 1%, what they didn't really understand was they were kind of part of it.
Well, there's a lot of people in America making over 20,000 a year. So, and that's only 1% of the world.
Yeah. That was the stat I heard. So yeah. I mean, as long as you're making more than $10 an hour in the US, which isn't, it's, you know, you got to actually try to do it, but you got it and then bang. You're there.
So here's another weird number. There's more people alive in the world right now than have ever died.
I know. That's crazy, ain't it? That's how few humans there was even like 400 or 500 years ago. It was ridiculous. And now the amount that are here today is ridiculous. You know, I would say we multiply like rabbits, but dang, we might be better than rabbits.
We're better than rabbits. Yeah.
Okay.
We inhabit more of the world than rabbits. I don't know if that's true.
Well, it's a weird thing. I want to say it's called learned knowledge, but I always give it the wrong name. It's our unique ability among other species and other life forms that we know of that we are able to learn over time and share with our offspring, and then our offspring picks it up and then innovates upon it. That's the main thing, learned knowledge.
Those who control the now control the past. I don't know. All right. Mm-hmm. So, Dor, I have this feeling that you might have some hardware news for us tonight.
Well, I have to first say thank you to a couple. Well, thank you to every Podnutsian, because literally if it wasn't for you guys, I wasn't going to be getting a phone realistically for a couple weeks, partially to just not stress out the family right before the holidays, but partially just because, you know, I have other things that I have to pay for, like, you know, dental work. You know, that's, you know, not cheap. So I want to thank Kevin McLaughlin in the morning. I want to thank Annoyance, Chuck Green, and Matthew Wuzzle, because of those three people, almost primarily, and people like Martin Obando and James. There's a bunch of people out there, but because of them, I have this device in my hand, and I have accessories coming in the mail. This is a Huawei P20 Lite. I purposely did not want a $600-$700 phone because I don't think most people can get a $600-$700 phone, nor do I want to spend what I consider to be two or more Chromebook prices on a phone, or much less three. You know what I mean? I don't want a single phone to be the price tag of what is three Chromebooks.
It makes sense. The price of phones is way too high.
Well, it's Apple manipulating the market and the market being okay with it and going with it. This is not going to show up probably because of the blue screen well, but there is a notch on the top. It is a gorgeous to me color blue, and the screen to face ratio is the way I put it is sickening. I mean, the amount of chin is really not there. It is very small, and the top does have the notch, but the hand feel kind of thing is like, I'm not a huge guy with huge hands. I'm not a little tiny guy with a little tiny hands. I'm like a 5'6" guy with normal hands, I guess. It just feels really good in the hand so far. I've only had it for like a day. So yeah.
What
Kevin Thank you.
When you don't have a bezel like that, one thing I always like to look for is the glass like rounded back into the case of it, or is it cut at a sharp edge?
I don't feel any edge, and I believe it is a glass back. I honestly can't. I'm not exactly positive because
on the front, the screen glass. Is it rounded back into the case a little bit?
Maybe just a little skosh, but if it is, it's really not much.
Yeah, not that the LCD would wrap around or nothing like that, but just I feel they hold up much better if they round off the edges instead of keeping them sharp. If it seems.
Yeah. I don't know. Okay, well, it's kind of rounded. And I'll say, like, there are certain features, like I was asked today if this phone had voice over LTE Volt and if it did Wi-Fi calling. And my response was, how the hell should I know? It's like if somebody says, what's the best phone? I kind of get a nervous twitch and I kind of get mad at people for asking that question. Because anybody who understands people or humans at all, when you get asked that question, you should come back with like 20 questions. You know what I mean? And I don't know if I always have time for that, but best for what? You mean, what do you crave? What do you desire? What do you hold in high esteem? That's the way I feel with the phone. I don't answer the damn phone. I don't even make phone calls from it typically. And I heard a really good episode of Reply All. Somebody please remind me to put the link in the notes. Reply All. Fantastic episode released today. Today they went into how a Snapchat user got their name compromised, their username compromised, because somebody saw value in it. And then they communicated with the people who did the actual hacking, the SIM bumping or whatever it's called. It was really interesting. This is why I don't give anybody my phone number. This is why I don't answer the phone. And this is why I don't make phone calls on the device. That identity is like a fingerprint. It can be used against you, very easily manipulated. End of rant. Go listen to the show.
Do you let people send verification to your phone number, like a text message to do like two-party authentication?
Only if they're stupid enough to fall for a Google Voice number.
Oh.
Because I have complete control over that, and I can move that from platform to platform.
And you can receive texts on?
I own that.
A text on a Google Voice number?
Most services will allow you to authenticate through a Google text number, except obviously Google does not want you to do it. When you do certain things with Google, you have to do it through a real phone number. But yeah, it's literally a security risk giving out your phone number these days. And it isn't our fault as end users. It's companies' fault for using it as a form of ID, you know, kind of like social security cards. Okay. But yeah, I don't know what this phone can do, the Volt LTE. I know the only feature it didn't have that I honestly, in hindsight, might have went for was NFC. Only because with NFC, I can have my YubiKey unlock the device as a secure platform. It's something I own and I control and not. I honestly don't like the idea of a fingerprint unlocking a phone because, you know, somebody can hold my finger to it, or face unlock, which this phone has face unlock. And it is literally like blank. It's really fast. Typically, it's faster than the fingerprint reader, maybe, but the fingerprint reader is crazy fast.
I like the fingerprint readers for convenience. I do. I would probably keep my phone unlocked if it wasn't for that.
Right. It is the old phone had the fingerprint reader as a push button too, where you could apply three different actions to it. This does not feel like a button. There might be something I can do. I'm not positive.
On my Pixel, you can.
It only has 32.
You can scroll. You can bring your notifications down sometimes on mine.
I don't think this one has that either. But it was less than $300, $280, 32 gigs of internal storage with dual SIMs, but I can also put up to, I believe, 2 terabyte. Micro SD on it.
That's good.
Which, you know, that's nice. And I have my USB SanDisk My Connect anyway, so I have accessible storage is the way I'll put it. The screen is like friggin' crazy gorgeous. On T-Mobile, I believe T-Mobile has a total of 6 bands that are LTE and or 4G. Technically they're different, but technically for end user they're the same. This supports, I think it was 3 or 4 out of those bands. So I'm never going to get like peak performance. I'm never going to be able to beat a native T-Mobile device on raw speed consistently, but I use 60 gigs a month and I'm pretty sure I'm going to be fine because the last phone was about the same level of compatibility. So I'm okay with that as well.
That was the name of that phone again? The 6T?
No, this is the Huawei Honor P20 Lite. Now, the OnePlus 6T, two people I know at work took old OnePlus devices, gave them to T-Mobile. Now for one guy's paying $9 a month, the other guy's paying $11 a month. They have a brand new OnePlus 6T.
But I'm glad that they got blue back in stock for you, so you didn't have to get the pink one.
Well, that was the only one that I saw, so I guess I'm lucky.
Oh, blue was the only one you saw that? Maybe it was a 60. One of them, I remember we were looking them up, and it was either the 6T or that the only one that was available at the time was the pink.
Well, here's the thing. This is, to me, one of the most visually eye-pleasing phone without anything on it. It is the most visually appealing phone I think I've ever had. And literally, we've been doing this show for over 6 years.
That's, I can't even remember how long now. Definitely over that.
Okay. By far, best looking damn phone I've ever had. I almost feel ashamed putting a case on it, but I'm going to put a case on it. And here's my excuse, Eric. I bought a TPU case off of Amazon for like $7. And I didn't buy the case to use it as a case, which might confuse some people out
there. Intrigued.
But if you go to, the listener, go to podnuts.com, click on shows, go down to the makers, you would understand this more. I'm buying it to do unbelievably accurate measurements on it and then prototype my own version of that and print it out in the same material TPU on my own 3D printer. So I'm going to be able to have customized cases.
I rocked a PLA case on this Pixel 2 for a long time until I got the live case, actually.
Right. Well, the PLA is rigid, pretty rigid. The TPU is actually pretty flexible. And like, here's a, for instance, on the show, Eric, very last episode, we talked about a company, I believe it was glassesusa.com/3D, where they're selling lenses and your ability to either order from them or print your own 3D glasses, the frames.
Nice. And they would mail you the lens to pop into them. That's cool.
Yeah, and they're holding a contest. If you design your own frames and upload them to them, you can win up to, I want to say, $3,000.
Yeah, that's nice. I've never printed with the TPU yet. You've never tried it yet either? Oh, okay.
No. Yeah, so it should be cool. I'll say this. If I can make a phone last 2 years that costs less than $300, and I use 60 gigs a month, I'm not magic. Okay. I've already done it once. I did it with the last phone, which was the Honor 8, which I literally got on the day after Thanksgiving 2 years ago. So it almost made it 2 years. Really close. Actually, it could have. Instead, on the ride of steel, it thought it was the phone of steel and flew away, you know. So I haven't, but I'm going to try to do it again with this phone. I got to say, so far, I am spoiled rotten by the screen, but also, Eric, you know, EMUI OS has their own stuff. This used to be available only as a download for the US phone, and their home screen has no app drawer, so all my stuff is just, you know, over there. But what this has built into it is I just swipe Google to the side and there's all my Google stuff. Just That's like Google cool. Now. But it isn't. It is Google Assistant with the proper inbox at the top. And all the other stuff to do your assistant.
Oh, good.
Stuff.
That's better than Google Now.
I will say this. On your Pixel devices, do you have it on the side?
Yeah.
Right there, I don't know who else does, because that to me is one of the old features I loved with the Google Now launch.
The chat with the little thing at the top.
Well, is it like right from the side of your home
screen? Yeah, all the way to the left. There's one more, and it's Google.
Yeah.
The Google Assistant.
This is running 8.0, I want to say, not Pi, it's Oreo. Just got a, and as soon as I booted it up, got a security update. But I will say, like I've always said, I don't care about any of it. If anybody should be exploited, it's the guy who literally clicks everything to see what happens on my Linux computers and my Linux laptops and my Raspberry Pis and my Odroid and my Android device. If anybody in the US is going to get an infection, it's going to be me. And I still haven't, so I don't care what version I'm on or about security.
Yeah, I just like the newer stuff. So I tried. I'm always in the beta program. Always. Yeah. Now you've got a glass back. Has that got wireless charging in it?
I don't think so. I doubt it. I extremely doubt it. What this phone reminds me of is almost the Motorola philosophy, where I said like how they create the highest end phone first, and then they basically remove features and then they reduce price and they come down in their series. That's what this feels like. The pictures I saw of the higher end 20s, because they have the Mate 20, the Pro 20, and there's still another one that are all above this, and they're all more money. That's the kind of thing that I'm missing out on because I bought the lower end device, but I don't need that stuff, is what I say.
So what size screen does that have?
I want to say 5.8.
Oh, so that's good size. That's like Pixel 2 XL or, that's the bigger one. That was another question I was going to ask. Oh, I wanted to let you know what...
5.84.
That's 5.84. A tall phone. Mm-hmm. I tried, and that the reason I mentioned that is when I printed my own case for my phone, the bed of my 3D printer wasn't large enough, so I actually had to print it in two pieces and then use a Dremel tool to weld them together using a piece of PLA in the Dremel tool.
Yeah, friction welding on 3D printing is actually cool.
And I tried, just using a 3D printing pen, 3D pen, I guess, at first, and it worked okay, but it was globby. So then I took it and smoothed it over with the friction welding.
Right. Yeah. And I was wrong. $240 was how much this was. Even better.
That's. Yeah. So I guess my biggest issue with a phone is lagginess and scrolling through things just on the phone, not actually operating stuff, but just in the UI. And is it spunky there as far as a brand new phone, or is it a little slow?
Well, I mean, it's brand new, so it's not going to be slow. That's just the way it is, kind of thing. I have noticed almost a weird snappiness to it because it's quicker. And that is like if I go back and forth between apps, there's a snap that happens that I was not aware of on other devices, is what I'll say. But it isn't bad. I mean, if I open up Chrome, go to a web page and scroll, it seems fine. And if I go to my contacts list, which literally can most of the time crash Android Auto because I have like over 6,000 people in my contact list, it doesn't like that.
I mean, you could probably turn off UI animations if it bothers you too,
Right. And what I can do is I can migrate those contacts to a separate contact list and then just not have it. But I'm not worried about it. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, for $240, I bought a tempered glass screen protector and a TPU case. I'm hooked on tempered glass. I will put nothing else on a phone first except for a tempered glass. Tempered glass to me is the only screen protector worth anything.
I wish I would have done it on my Pixel 2, and I didn't, and I haven't yet. And it's pretty scratched up. And now I do pay for the device protection. I guess I'm hoping I will fall with it at one point and smash the screen to get it replaced that way. But
But how much is that going to cost? Because there's always a fee attached.
$75, I think, or something like that.
Oh my lord! See,
it's too late. I can't put a screen protector on it now. Over scratches. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, I know, but I'm just saying next time, me and a good guy at work, who was one of the guys who got a 6T, we were talking about it because both of our wives are getting aggravated by their devices. And it's like, why pay their fee for a device when, like, hypothetically, my son's phone was, I think, $215 from the store. I can go and swap. I get one tomorrow for under $90. Yes, I got to wait 3 days for it. It's not instantaneous, but I get it for that much less. And I don't have to pay monthly insurance, so my bill doesn't go up every month. And if the phone breaks, I'm less heartbroken, and I just go get another device.
Right. I did a lot of things wrong. We don't know the Pixel 2 purchase. To be honest.
Well, I mean, you got it for a fair price off of what was it, Facebook?
No. I bought this brand new from Google, but I did get a nice trade-in from the Pixel.
Oh, that's right. Right. And the other Pixel came from the Facebook. Whatever.
Yes. Yeah.
The one that you traded in. Yeah. I know. So, we'll see. I will say this. I found my i6 Air 3G Cube dual boot tablet. That is such a mouthful. Dual boots Windows 8.1 and Android, don't know, was remarkably useful and functional in the time that I was using it for like the last week, 2 weeks. except for internal storage side size was quite low. So I instantaneously had to put an SD card in it for content, but I still couldn't install every app that I wanted to because of drive space.
What's the name of that again?
It's made by Cube, and it's the i6 3G Air dual boot Android Windows 8.1 tablet.
i6 3G.
I got it from AliExpress or Alibaba for, I want to say, around $130 to $150-ish probably.
Wow.
And I'll say, if you, the listener, go look it up, don't be shocked if it's about the same price or a couple bucks more. I am very particular about my purchases with overseas stuff like that, where I get it for a really good price.
So how long, for those who haven't used Alibaba or AliExpress, how long does it take if you order something like that?
There is no answer because you never know. I will say it's just like eBay in the sense of you can't just click on anything and buy it. You got to look at it. You got to look at the seller's review rating. And if you look at the posting close enough or the seller close enough, they will make their shipping methods clear if they're any good. So I knew when I bought the tablet, it was going to take more than 4 weeks, less than six. And I want to say it came just over like 3.5. I did get it early. And I'm trying to remember something else I bought from overseas where it said it was going to take 3 weeks and it literally took 6 weeks. Okay. There has been that before. And here's how their shipping works real quick. The company literally takes it and throws it in a huge rectangle area. That rectangle area, you have to pay to put something in there as a seller. And whenever it fills up, you know, they know at this date, all that block is going out and they're basically shipping containers. So you never have fine grain knowledge of where your product is. When it gets to where it's going over there to the long haul, then you don't know where it's at. And then it can show up in Cincinnati, Kentucky, Jersey, California. There's like six places it can surface in the US tracking system, and it can be random. Literally, you can live in California and it will show up in Cincinnati, even though it came from Hong Kong, which will make no sense to somebody, but that's what
and
happens.
Is that typically customs. 4PX shipping? Is that?
Honestly, I've had multiple shipping methods from there and it's all the same. It's okay. Random.
So sometimes DHL, sometimes 4PX, sometimes USPS.
Well, DHL is in conjunction with, I want to say, China Post, which is the big one over there. That, yeah.
Okay. I'm afraid a lot of Americans can't live without that instant gratification of Amazon Prime as much as some people who are willing to save a couple bucks and see some really neat stuff that you can't even get here, but it's worth it.
Dude, everybody I know with Prime in the last week have done nothing but complaining to me about how everything they've bought that says they're going to get it in 2 days has turned out to take 5 days. And I mean, literally 20 plus people have said that to me. And I literally cackle out loud and laugh because if I was a Amazon employee, I know right now we're getting ready to enter hell on earth and they're not going to let me take off. So let me take off now because this is going to get ugly. They lifted all shipping fees for this holiday season, which means even more stuff. So I'm really happy I'm not an Amazon employee. And here in Baltimore, we had an Amazon warehouse have an accident where a wall, I believe if I read it right, fell down. Might have been, I think, a tornado, to be honest. But the wall fell down and literally killed two employees. Yeah, so, I mean, I saw somebody I know taking money to a collection place for him. I had to give something because, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You know, this is the worst time of year for accidents. I've said this multiple times, multiple years, because we've been doing this damn show for so long. We are about to enter the most dangerous time of year for everybody as an American. Be careful. Look out for each other. Check on each other.
Yeah. Yeah. I have heard you say that around this time of year. So not only did Amazon take the minimum $25 purchase away for the free shipping, now Target now offers free 2-day shipping with no minimums too. So they basically took Prime for free to all the customers at Target. Walmart is doing something with shipping, and I'm not nearly as impressive though. Or maybe
With theirs, I believe it was anything over $25 is free 2-day shipping. Where in Amazon it used to be $35, I think.
Yeah. So speaking of shopping, I put a link in the chat here. I think if it works, Yeah. So the Lenovo 8-inch smart display with Google Assistant just went on sale for $100 off at Best Buy. It's usually $199. It's on sale for $99. I mean, I see this, you know, I've got a Google Home in my kitchen, but then I can't really say that this is a great deal after you talk about a Android tablet with Windows for $150.
Yeah, but it's running older Windows, Windows 8.1, no way upgradable to Windows 10, and Android, I want to say probably like
4.4.
Around 8. Yeah, probably around there.
Okay. Well, that's fair then, I guess. So now, I already know, I've seen the Black Friday ad for Target that the new Google Home Hub is going to be also for $99 at Black Friday. So this one, the speaker's probably a little better. But man, I think I would have to go with the Google one just for the amount of years that I'll get use out of it. I think if I was to get another assistant in the house, and this one has a camera, which you can physically cover. The Google one has no camera. But I don't know if you could use this Lenovo somehow and do Hangouts on it, and say I don't know if I could do the podcast on that or not. Yeah, I'm sure I couldn't. Yeah, that would work. Never mind.
Well, there would first have to be a USB port.
But basically, I'm looking for one of these for the kitchen to show a recipe rather than just say it to you and then say next, you know, and next step to actually show the recipe or play a video. That's what I need, is one more way to get YouTube into my house.
My goodness, Eric. I know.
Oh, speaking of that, Switch, yeah.
Yeah, today came out with a YouTube app, which I didn't realize this. Hulu's been on it for over a year, or just over, literally, like a day over a year. And this came out today. Now people believe Hulu paid Nintendo to have a 1-year exclusivity in North America on video apps, which I hate to say it, sounds like a Nintendo thing
and
to
no,
do.
But, and they and, like and money. Guess what? You, who knows a lot about the Switch, didn't know. Good marketing, Hulu.
Right.
Way to go.
Well, I guess that's what we heard. And now this, I will say, $99 is, I'm a fan of Lenovo, period. I'm not going to hide it whatsoever. I am a big fan of Lenovo as a company. $99, this is approaching to me really close to being a really fair price, because there's no doubt this is commodity hardware that they're paying less than, you know, they could sell it for $80 and still be making money. I personally.
The Lenovo one?
They're Lenovo.
And the last Lenovo laptop I had was such a pile of garbage. I almost don't even want to buy anything.
Well,
it was
kind?
A Lenovo.
What kind? Maybe if I say it slower, you'll answer it
better. I don't think it was a ThinkPad.
Was it? Okay, because here's the gimmick. It's like Dell business class versus consumer grade, HP consumer grade versus business class. They are completely different beings. A Lenovo ThinkPad is completely different than any other Lenovo IdeaPad, Flex, or
yeah,
any
it's probably
of
an idea. It is a completely IdeaPad, different. I bet.
Well, they were really bad. Everything else I've had Lenovo, I've been underwhelmed with. Every ThinkPad I've touched has been wow. I mean, the brand new ThinkPad, I want to say it's $2,200. There's no way I would ever buy it, but, you know, I'm sure it's nice. And this, you know, is fine, but I'm also sure that Google Home Hub, like you said, would probably get longer support.
But the speaker's not that good. And I really like the speaker in my Google Home, but I know what the speaker sounds like in a Google Home Mini. And I think this is closer to that. Or the Google Home Hub
gotcha.
Is closer to the Mini sound. That's gotcha. All right, though. I don't know. Maybe I won't get any of them. My wife was kind of hinting at it. I'm like, if I can get her into some tech, heck yeah, you know?
Right. Well, there was a touch more hardware-related news, and I was hoping you didn't hear about this because I wanted to see your reaction to it. Lilputin links to Android Police article. I like Lilputin. More people need to go to Lilputin. That's what I call it, Lilputin. And they used to have a podcast. I encourage people, if you like hearing about mini computers, Android devices, portable devices, aka little computers, you need to send this guy an email in the about page of Lilputin, because there's really just one guy behind it hiring people, doing other stuff. Let him know he's doing a good job, because this site needs more traffic. It's a really nice thing. But they found by looking at Android Police, by looking at the source code of the latest AR Core release on Android, that it looks like in the code, there might be two more Pixel devices already in this code, which to me says it's at least 16 plus months into development, probably, which means it's less than 8 months away. More than likely, if they're reading this code right, that we're going to have two more Pixel branded devices. And you're like the Pixel guy. So I'm thinking, you know, do you have any ideas of what could they do? Because I'm going to guess we're going to be different somehow.
Well, I just wonder if it's AR Core. I can only guess they would be phones. I'm thinking maybe a cheaper Pixel phone. Not, I wouldn't think that they would do like a tablet so much with AR Core. People aren't augmented reality. I mean, unless it's maybe a factory or business environment tablet that they could use the AR Core in. Yeah. I'm thinking a cheaper Pixel, see, though. More of a Nexus line, again, because they need that. I mean, there's people who are buying, like the Huawei you got. They're missing out.
Well, I'm all for companies making devices with great whatever, great screens or great speakers or great ports or great cameras. Fine. That's fine. Choice is what will win, not doing something perfectly or near perfectly. I believe almost like Google Glass, AR-enabled tablets or bigger screens will be unbelievably productive in very specific business use cases where they could literally corner the market, own the market, suck up a whole nother branch of data because, you know, that's what they like to do.
I could see maybe an AR Core being a dedicated headset for VR too, where like a Oculus or a HTC, what was that? I don't remember the other one.
Yeah, Vive. The Vive and all of them. Yeah. I mean, to me, that's what's going to win. The idea of putting a thing on your face and never being able to see anything around you and it's all virtualized, to me, is a thing that's going to wear off in novelty really quick, regardless of resolution or lag. But I think augmented reality, the idea of putting it on, and there's been a couple of like future-like spoof videos on how the future generations are going to like spend their day shopping kind of thing and going to the store and everything around them has extra bling on it to make it appear like you don't live in a complete crap hole kind of thing.
Used couch will have like a augmented reality cover over it that makes it look nice.
Well, yeah, right. Yeah. And like walking down the hall, all the walls have like bling on them or, you know, friend information things and stuff like that. And then, of course, when that runs out, you have to pay them more money because it's, you know, everything is a service, including that. But I believe augmented reality is where everything is going to be at because that's what I think it matters. I think it's cool.
Speaking of augmented reality, do we still have more hardware news?
No.
I was just thinking earlier today, speaking of augmented reality, you brought that Ghostbusters game last week, and we're getting our first snowfall that's going to stick tonight. So as soon as I get a nice game to get me out and about, walking around, playing some augmented reality, it snows and gets like 30 degrees as a high for the next 2 weeks. So I'm not going to be outside, you know, hunting ghosts too much. But I did also want to bring up a game, a blast from the past, and this is Ingress Prime. So what happened is they had a huge battle royale between the green and the blues, and it ended up being a tie. And now Ingress is no longer, and they've started over with a reboot of the whole game called Ingress Prime.
Yeah, they kind of said they had to because the game engine was losing support, whatever that means.
So I've installed this, and so far, just looking at it right off the bat, it's very much like Ingress. It's been a year, maybe longer, since I've even played Ingress at all. But I wasn't outside enough to get to a portal. I could see a couple portals from my office, but I didn't hack them. Nobody's hacking them. There was a small, thin blue line going through my town somehow, but that was about it. And I didn't go on the computer to take a look at the overall map around me. I should have done that. But if you're into Ingress, I'm sure you already know about this game. If you don't know about Ingress and you've got unlimited data and you like walking around, this is a good way to pass some time.
And you have a really good battery, or you have a good battery, portable power battery.
Yep.
Yeah, because this thing, I know, used to destroy batteries and all kinds of devices. Yeah, and be prepared to literally make traveling into your daily routine as like scheduled, planned, kind of thing, because that's what it takes to really play this game. You have to spend at least a certain amount of your time every day traveling.
I get, I do get the feeling a lot of people are upset about this reboot, but you know, they would.
Yeah.
You know, people have a lot of, people have years invested in that game.
It's a bit. Yeah. Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Literally. I know our friend Tim, was able to actually scrape other chats in other jurisdictions and counties and states where they were talking about him, saying there's no way it's just one person with that account. It has to be multiple people, like spoofing their GPS, because what this man is doing is not possible. But in fact, it was possible, and it was him.
Yeah, he had a field of XM called Big Blue that was multi states wide and very impressive.
Quite.
That's my first app very of the cool. night. Dor, what do you got this week?
Okay. Well, I guess the first one I'm going to bring. I literally just like not bringing games is what I'm going to say first and foremost. But I am always intrigued at launchers. Any long term listener to this show should know that there was at least one show where I brought around 20 different launchers to one episode, and that's because that's what was available. I still have not seen anything like groundbreaking or revolutionary in home launchers now for over 2.5-3 years. Everybody is just copying what Google or Samsung or Moto people are doing and not really doing much. But this one at least did have built right into it also the Google Now aspect of just swiping to the side to being able to access your Google. And I know it isn't available on every device, so this is another way to get it. And it's called Hyperion.
Hyperion?
Is the way I'll say it. Hyperion? Sure, I'll go with that. Basically, it's just a launcher. Launcher replaces the screen when you hit the home button. So you get a different home screen. You hit home, you go to this. And you can basically customize the screens, customize the fonts, customize the colors, customize the backgrounds, customize. And you get some added features with your launcher, like the Google Now aspect of it. What it does not change is your notification pull down at all, just the screen when you hit home. So I thought this was cool just for that Google aspect. Does have in-app purchases and no ads.
Yeah, watching the video for this while you were talking about it, I guess they now call that the Google Feed, is what that's called all the way to the left.
Yeah. Well, call it whatever you want. I don't care, as long as it's there, because to not have that, to me, was not cool. Now, here's what I'll say about this. What a lot of people don't get, and I'm going to say this out loud because I don't hear other people saying this. There's two main screens with your Google launcher, with your Google feed, with your Google news stream. There's the first page where you just keep going down, keep going down, keep going down. Then at the very bottom, it says more stories. Okay. That first page you're on is very customizable. There's three dots in the upper hand corner of every square. You click that and then you can follow topics or you can ban topics. Okay. That's what it is. It's your personalized feed. Now, when you go all the way down and click on more stories, you're now not looking at your feed. Mm. You now are getting a little bit of exposure outside of your filter bubble. Okay. So you're going to find things that you already said no to in the mainstream. This is what we call the normal world and not your filter bubble, people. So when you hit that more stories at the bottom of the Google feed, don't be upset that, oh, I just did. I don't want to see that. Well, get the hell off of that and go on Facebook if that's the kind of reaction you want out of your experience. I like seeing things outside of my interest just to keep me aware of the rest of the world. But there are people out there that don't get it.
When you hit the, you said more stories button, right? That's the very bottom. You stop getting GIFs.
That's when you are outside of your filter bubble and you start seeing either political things or sports related things, things that you might have already said.
Because I know yours has to be if mine is. My first 20 items are nearly all GIFs of some sort, imager. And then I get like a couple other little things about stuff.
No, I mean, I will tell you this right now. The very first thing typically is a Stardew Valley posting from Reddit. Now,
does your first thing say trending?
No, this is my thing. My thing is different than your thing. It's genetics, Eric. They're going to look different. Oh, I'm sorry. My very first thing is Android related. Then it's Dungeons and Dragons. Then it's Ubuntu. Then it's ketogenic diet. Then it's energy drink. Then it's Mario series. Then it's Chromebook. Then it's loudspeaker enclosure. Oh, 3D printing. Business, Nintendo Switch, T-Mobile.
Yeah, we're similar. You
know, because these are all the, well, these are all the things I say that I like and want to follow. But then when I go all the way down and click on more stories, that's when I'll see stuff about Pence, stuff about Trump, stuff about NATO, stuff about the Baltimore Orioles. No. Oh, there's a William Shatner thing there. I'm going to click that and click follow.
It's got,
because you know,
first one's trending, then legalization, then trending, then ketogenic diet, right. Tesla Model 3, SpaceX, smartwatch, business, electric car, computer file,
computer file,
SpaceX, gadget. Oh, this gadget, new gadget that injects bananas with syrup.
Why not?
Yeah, right?
Yeah, but the gimmick is that if there's something there that you absolutely want to see, click the very top right of that square and you'll see follow. You can click it, or you can click do not show me this again, and voila. It's like magic. And then when you hit more stories, expect to see a wide girth of topic.
Yep.
You know, I also visit the Reddit front page. Mm. I can visit Imgur. I like the Imgur random feed more than the top feed. Because when the default look at the most popular thing first means if I go back into it in 20 minutes, I've already seen it. I've already seen this. I don't want to see it again. The random every time I open the app is different. And you can change what your default screen is in the Imgur Android app. Yeah. So, what do you
think? I'm keeping on my same kind of theme here. This is called Google Express. Shopping done fast. We brought this to the show before. Just letting everybody know that right now they've got a deal that now between now and the first of the year, there's a coupon code, and there's multiple coupon codes for Google Express right now. But there's a certain one that will give you 20% off of 3 purchases between now and the end of the year. The other ones will only give you, and one of them has to be your first purchase through Google Express. So if you've already ordered on Google Express, you're probably not going to find these deals. But if you haven't before, make sure you use the one that gives you 3 20% off and not one of the ones that only gives you a one-time one. Just a heads up.
Well, yeah, and to the listener, don't forget, this is really just a gateway. Mm-hmm. Remember, Google likes data. So this is just a gateway. So if you like shopping at Walmart or Target, think of this as a curated list to those stores, because that's what it is. And it literally tells you at the bottom corner, this is sold at Target.
Yeah, so if there's something at Target or Walmart you want to buy, like I did, I just bought a Microsoft Xbox One controller through, actually it was... It was a company that I haven't used in a long time, but it was Fry's. That's one of the Google Express places, and that's where I ended up ordering my controller through, and saved 20% on it just because I used Google Express instead of going, you know, they had the cheapest price anyway, so I went there.
Very cool. Yeah, I mean, I've looked at it a bunch of times, and I've seen a couple coupons, but I still have not clicked buy on anything. And I'll say this. I would say I don't know why, but I know why. It's because I'm cheap. And what I'm seeing, even when they're on sale, they're fine prices, but they're not making me jump, you know, kind of thing.
This was my first purchase off of Google Express. So I've got 2 more to use before the end of the year.
Yeah. The one I know I saw, it was 20%, 25% off orders not exceeding $25.
This is 20% off,
which was like
$20. But 3 times.
So good. That is definitely a plus. So yeah, small purchases, I can definitely see using this for. And I'm all for competition, even if it's giving business to a company that doesn't need business. Because here's the gimmick. Eric has his ETFs, but Amazon is getting ready to launch a ad service, which they expect is going to basically, I don't want to say kill Google, but it's going to put a severe amount of damage on the Google bottom line, because the sales pitch is here. Company advertise with us, Amazon, and here's the real thing. When people come to us, you know they want to spend money. That instantaneously makes their sales pitch more valuable to the end buyer of that ad. So expect a good amount of disruption and even more damn money going into Jeff Bezos's bank account. They're getting ready to announce what people believe is the second HQ, but they think it's going to literally be 2 different HQs where they're going to split and do 25,000 people, employees at two different cities.
I put the link to Slick Deals. That's not where I found this at, but they talk about it here. So it looks like the coupon code is HOLIDAYSAVE3X.
So it's just a coupon code. Gotcha. Very cool. Yeah, I mean, I like saving money. You like saving money? Maybe we should hang out sometime.
Yeah, but I like money, though.
Sorry. Yeah. It's what plants crave.
I think you got some very electrolytes cool, in a jar right in front of you right now, don't you?
Well, next to me, I have a drink with plenty of electrolytes because it's what I crave. And if you've never watched Idiocracy, I don't know why you're listening to this show. You need to watch Idiocracy and see Terry Crews as President Camacho. It's just good stuff.
Yeah, it's definitely coming true.
Well, you know, is it art imitating life or life imitating art? Well,
it's life imitating art because that was made 20 years ago.
But what if they were just really smart? You do know, Eric, there are definitely 10 times more people who have never seen that movie than who have seen that movie. So how can they be imitating something that they've never seen?
That's true. They were really smart. They were so smart, they made Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah, which, say no more. Okay, this is my next app, and it's a thing I've been really tempted to try, and there was at least one or two in the past that I've used to do voice dictation of notes. And I literally just found this hours ago, and I cannot remember the website. I did say to myself, self, I want to start giving more websites credit when I find apps on them, but in typical fashion, I can't remember. It was not the two most popular when in my search results typically, which is Android Authority and Android Police. One of their websites suck. The other one is fine, but this was from a
Android Central
site.
Well, I'm just guessing.
No. Otter Voice Notes, productivity app, E for Everyone, completely free to download and install. Does have in-app purchases, no ads. 647 reviews, 4.5 average reviews, updated November 7, 2018, 5.8 megabytes in size, 50,000 install. I want people to realize 5.8 megs. Okay, there is an old adage in computing which still holds true, but it's just harder to notice. Tight code, small code, efficient code is virtually always better and safer in the long run than bulky, bloaty type code. For this to be less than 6 megs, is a tip of the hat, if you will, by the dev team to someone like me. So I see that just encourages me even more to download this app. It can do all different notes and note organization, and it says it can do what, if I read right, literally transcription. I want to be able to say stuff and have it do both, record the audio and type it out in Word form and allow me to do
it. It looks like the way they get such a small file size is most of the stuff is done in the cloud. Most of the transcription, it seems, because they gauge you on the free version to 600 minutes of transcription per month. And then if you pay, you can get up to, 6,000 minutes of transcription per month for $9.99 a month or $80 a year. If it works really well, though, and you're a person who takes a lot, I do a lot of minutes of meetings for my job. I don't know how well this would work, though. I really need to format stuff onto paper. I don't know. It might be worth giving it a try for the 600 free minutes to see what it does. I don't see that it exports it like into a Word document, though, but I could always take whatever it takes and copy and paste into Word. That's probably not a big deal.
Yeah, as long as I can highlight and copy, to me, it's fine. I will have to then check it out, and it looks like AISense.com is the actual parent company of this, and it's otter.ai, which I'm sorry, that is a fantastic URL. I will definitely try to look at their privacy policy, see what I get.
They're from California.
Because I understand, well, that doesn't help any. That just means it's easier for stuff like the FBI and CIA to do FISA warrants on and just get an entire copy of the data center if they want. I'll have to be careful about it because I do love the idea of having this transposable to the where I can do it on my phone, literally have my phone stolen from my hand 30 seconds later, but yet still have access to all my stuff. I gotta say that is a good feature to have. Now the question is, do they do the privacy policy right and do the data right? Being in California does not bode well for them, is what I'll say.
You know what? I'm going to install it. I've been wondering why Google hasn't come out with this yet. But.
Well, you know, they have Google Keep, and Google Keep can do some of this as well.
Will it transcribe?
But I just...
Well, I guess, sort of.
I do believe...
Voice notes, huh?
I do believe, like, the Google Voice messaging thing can do transcription. I do believe there's a certain level of that in Google Keep, but I will say the aesthetics of Google Keep to me are putrid. They're, like, made by... from what it looks like a 15-year-old kid, in my opinion. Not that I'm the master of style and design. My stuff looks like it's been styled or designed from like 96, you know. But I just don't like it at all.
Guy in the tub has not seen Idiocracy.
He's going to
hang
you
up
are.
And listen to our answer. Yeah, I don't know, man. That's it's hard to believe that somebody would watch our show from a bathtub and not have seen Idiocracy.
Well, do it when you're not in the tub, because then you might want to throw a toaster in when you're done watching it, just saying.
I'm going to bring this an app that is kind of a throwback to back in the day, back when we used to have Meta search engines. But this is called The Lookup, and it's by The-Lookup. Mm. I wanted it to be more of a Meta search engine, but basically this only searches one at a time, but it exposes you to all kinds of ways to search, like... just, I would say right off the bat, 50 search engines, many of which I've never heard of. But it doesn't do them all at the same time.
Right. That does suck. I would say I do like the idea of,
yeah. So when you first click on it, it'll give you this Findex, Metigger, Oscobo, Peakier, Qwant, Search Encrypt, SearchX, Start Page, Swiss Cows, AOL, Ask, Bing, Carrot 2, Dogpile. So there's still, you know, a lot of the old ones from back in the day, but a lot of them I've never heard of. And then it goes farther into like some of the very specialized search engines. You know, like you're not going to find everything like Google Scholar, Library of Congress, LinkedIn, USA Jobs, CNN.com. It'll search things like that. USPS tracking.
Dude, I gotta say, Eric, are you at the link in the store right
now? I am.
Okay, especially on a desktop browser, listener, go to the very bottom, and towards the very bottom, you should see visit website support at the-lookup.com and then privacy policy. We please click on privacy policy. Okay. And on a lot of websites, you click this and you will be confronted sometimes literally with like 50 page down worth of content. Can I ask, Eric, what do you see when you click on
the privacy policy?
The entire thing.
The 50 pages right now.
Okay.
The Lookup offers a free tool to search other search engines. We do not care what you search for, nor do we retain any search data. All search results will come from the engine you select, not from our servers. Engines marked with a I don't know what kind of P sign, I guess, some kind of weird symbol, have stated in their privacy policy that they do not record your IP address or any form of tracking. Since you are being redirected away from our site after you submit your search, we have no control over the policies of that website. Ads. We currently use Google AdMob and AdSense for advertising. Statistics. We do use Google Analytics and OneSignal.com to track usage and some demographics. This data is not sold to any third party and is only used to make our website better. So that's nice. So that little...
That's
the entire thing. So that little symbol is IP, and if you want to use a search engine that doesn't record your IP address when you make that search, this is a good way to find those search engines, and you can, you know, use more than one to see if you can find what you're actually looking for. And there is, you know, like there's a search engine called Qwant that has that symbol. There's quite a few. Swiss Cows, Start Page, and a lot of people I know have used Start Page. There's quite a few. I don't know, probably at least a dozen. More than that, I guess, that have that symbol.
Oh, right. There's a good amount of engines in this list, period. And here's what I'm going to say. I am old. I remember using, Sailor and Gopher and all these technologies that basically don't exist anymore. And Firefox literally just dropped Gopher support like maybe a year ago, but no one's used it for 20 years. Here's what I like. Everyone wants to complain about Google all day long and they want to get off Google services and they don't like giving Google that much power. Okay, I feel like that about Facebook much more than I feel about Google, period. Mm-hmm. I'll start there. But choice is everything. And a lot of people out there are talking about the dark web. I'll just say this. The actual practical real world definition of dark web just means websites and content that have not been indexed. Dink, right there. That is what the dark web is. If anybody asks you, is my information on the dark web? You have to think and tell them the dark web is merely data on the internet that has not been indexed for your search engines. So is your data out there? Of course it is. Of course it is. And yes, technically it's on the dark web. It's on information servers that are behind firewalls that the internet is not able to scan, whether it be credit card companies or anybody else. Your information out there. That's all the dark web. But in reality, when you go to a search engine, you're at most searching 1% of the data available on the internet. So you go to Google, you do a search and you find what you're looking for. Remember, you're still only searching 1% or less of the entirety of all the content on the internet. So going to different search engines can completely reveal different content that you've never seen of, never imagined before.
You mean there's more to the internet than Netflix and Amazon?
Well, if you want to talk about bandwidth usage, I'm sure Netflix, Amazon, Google, and Facebook are 99.9999999% of all the bandwidth.
You know, I need to go on the dark web and see if websites that I built a long time ago that I would love to see again today are still out there somewhere.
Well, A,
because they're not on Google.
You don't have to go to the dark web for that. Well, you don't have to go to the dark web for that. Just go to the Wayback Machine, which is part of archive.org, and you can find, you'll be surprised the amount of stuff you can find. I know me on charm.net. Charm.net was a dial-up ISP I had back in the day, and they used to give me space on a server, and it was literally charm.net tilde slash, and it was a name, my username, and I would have literally songs that I created through Scream Tracker, I believe was the name of the application, where I used to make music. And I went on the Wayback Machine, and when I remembered my username, I actually found my old pages that I posted.
Yeah. So I'd like to find the one I had built back for a college course back in the day, because that's where I came up with the Silicon Wrench, and it was a totally different thing than a computer repair store at that time. But and I'd love to see what it looks like, because I couldn't, you know, I can't remember exactly what I was doing back then. That was.
Right. Well, I can tell you, Eric, I am downloading this and I am installing it just to remind myself of other search engines, or find new search engines just for giggles, because whoever owns your portal to new information owns a lot, is what I'll say.
Yeah, that's true. And you know, we used to see a very different results page when we would search through like Alta Vista or Yahoo or Metacrawler or something. You know, your search results varied greatly. And then Google was another one that was another big difference. It's just Google was so much better than the other ones at finding exactly what it was you were trying to find. And that's why they won out.
Yeah, and it was so clean. Mm-hmm. Everybody else had garbage all around it, garbage filled with it, garbage overflowing out of it. Punch the monkey banner at the top, you know, kind of.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah.
And, oh, I didn't. And Google was just so clean. I mean, we had download.com, search.com, AltaVista, keeps going, all kinds of. Now it's just Google and YouTube, which, and then people, plenty of old people, plus 60, use Facebook as their search engine, but they're few and far between. But yeah, it's bad. Choice is good. Diversity is even better. Yeah, and I'll say this, we had just had election cycle here. Being a fan of disruption, I'm fairly satisfied overall with what I heard happen in all the elections, except the ones that just aren't finalized yet.
Yeah, I don't have an opinion either way on how they went, but I like the idea that they're not finished. I agree.
Well, and the amount of incumbents that lost, I liked. The amount of voters that went out, I don't
there was
know.
A lot of, there was a lot of voters. At least here.
That's
here
what they said. Oh, here? No, man. I went in. There was no line. My wife went in hours later. No line. It was raining nasty. But we still, they said, had a good overall turnout for our state. But our place, at least when we went, were empty.
For the presidential, we had one ward in our town that for the presidential election had 20 voters. They had 250 at about 6 o'clock and the polls closed at 7 during this midterm. Mm. So it was either an affirmation of what happened at the first election, or an absolute abomination of what happened at the last election, that they were coming out to let themselves know. I don't know, or whatever.
Gotcha.
Your turn, Door.
Yes. Yeah, okay, so I am going to install that because I like the idea of it. This one, it's weird, Eric. I honestly know I heard someone, I believe, like 2 weeks ago mention this on a show, but, you know, listening at 4X, it's sometimes a little difficult to catch what people are saying. So I believe I missed it when it was said there, but then I had somebody else, Richard Hughes from the Mini PC show, mention this technology to me, and I had no idea it was on Android. It's called OpenCV, and OpenCV stands for something I can't remember right now. Dang it. But it is called Deep Learning in OpenCV for Visually Impaired by, I have no idea how to pronounce that name.
Let's see. I got to scroll back up here. Oh, Alessandro de Oliveira Faria.
Dude, you're awesome. Thank you. And it's under Libraries and Demo as the category. It's under Libraries and Demo as the category. One more time. It's under Libraries and Demo in category. So don't expect this thing to run perfect and do everything you can imagine, okay? But it is marked E for everyone, completely free to download, completely free to install, no ads, no in-app purchase. 23 reviews, E for everyone, 4.7, average reviews, September 9th, 80 megs, 1,000 plus install, current version 11, you need 4.0.3 and up. This is an example of OpenCV, which has the ability to see a license plate or a face and do recognition. And what this is, it's a demonstration of doing a little bit more character and object recognition. And it's basically for the visually impaired. This is the kind of thing where hopefully someone with a true visual in impairment will soon be able to put on a device and literally use to help get around their day. Technology is supposed to help society, culture, individuals, people who need more assistance. This to me is a good example of making that happen.
Our chat room helped us out. It's OpenCV, stands for Open Computer Vision. That's pretty cool. The app itself, I would have to say, has the longest video out of any app I've ever seen in the Play Store, 10-minute long video. But it looks like you point your phone at your room and it can identify what is a chair, what is a monitor, what's a cat, things like that. If your sight isn't good enough to identify what things are.
Yeah. And I'll say, besides Jonathan, they do, who is unbelievably blind. I know my vision ain't going to be getting any better without a miracle of technology here soon. But also we have a guy in the chat, who helps with the Mattermost server, which is also technically on the dark net, just saying, who said that this was able to identify his cat, which is awesome. I'm sorry. It actually works for animals and stuff like that. And the main reason he already checked it out was he believes sooner or later he's going to need assistance as well. So yes, we have actual hands-on proof that this thing can work and does work, at least to some degree, which is really awesome. I'm literally tempted. I wish it did all the processing locally, but I'm fairly confident if I disconnect this thing, put it in airplane mode, point towards a cat, it's just going to sit there and spin its wheels. But, with the miracle of 5G right around the corner, everything is going to have an IP address. That's what everyone says, at least.
Never thought about that.
I don't know. Well, they believe with 5G, connectivity will literally be ubiquitous, like sunlight, like water, like nitrogen in the air. It's going to be everywhere, and everything's going to have its own IP address. Like if you have a computer set up, every peripheral, every device will have an IP address, including your keyboard and mouse. Everything will be addressable in the 5G verse.
That's scary.
I don't know. Well, I'll say this. Intel and AMD have came together, which they never come together at all. This is like Democrats and Republicans agreeing and getting something done in Congress, which doesn't happen. But Intel and AMD agreed upon, at least between them, a future platform and position on IoT boards, firmware, and operating systems, and how to try to do things in the correct way to make sure security is done right, and there's a clear object of a upgrade path and patch way of doing things that both companies at least can agree is secure and they would work towards. But we need more than that, because the real popular security guy says, Brian something? I can't remember his name now. Bruce Schneider says, patching operating systems and software, you know, you always wait for a bug to come out. So what's the problem with that? Well, the problem is when IP addresses and firmware versions have arms, hands, and feet kind of thing, when they can reach into the real world and they can actually accidentally kill people, whether it just be malformed code, a crash, a BSOD, ending up in making a car drive off a cliff kind of thing. When computer technology has the ability accidentally to kill people, we need to have better methods of patching and upgrading and more rules in our software than just letting developers and companies do whatever the hell they want.
I don't want my toilet reversing directions on me.
I'll say this. If I live long enough to where everything has an IP address, I'm literally firewalling everything off. It's my main objective to IPv6. One of the main things when it was made with the intent to have no more NAT firewalls anywhere and have everything publicly exposed and everything to be reachable in one hop to everything else, which of course it's never one hop, but that's one of the things I did not like about IPv6. That's the way they intended to be used. You don't have to use it like that, but there are a lot of publicly addressable IPv6 addresses right now, which, you know, they're really long and difficult, but I don't want that.
So if you have all of these IP addresses, and you've got this incredible 5G speed, does this just get us back to where we are now as far as speed with all these things trying to, you know, swim their way through the soup of 5G?
Well, I mean, we're going to need more than just the network and just the fact that we want everything or have everything with an IP address. We're going to definitely still need more infrastructure than that is what I'll say. But latency is the main thing that's changed in all computing. Back in the day of mainframes and everything, we had remotely connected computers. We just didn't call them clouds. Mm-hmm. But it was the same basic principle. The main thing was lag was completely different. A lot of things you would type, you would hit enter, you'd take a sip of your coffee, you would take two puffs off your cigarette office because the whole office was like, you know, 3 feet.
There's an ashtray on every desk.
And then, exactly. And then your answer would come back. The only difference now is latency. And the only thing we ask ourselves is how far from us is its processor? Is it in our pocket? Is it in our desk? Is it in our server closet? Is it in another state, or is it in some ISP or some data center warehouse kind of thing? That's the only difference, is how far something is. I don't know how much 5G is going to technically make the actual speed of communications better, but they say latency is where it's going to increase a lot. Shorter latency means farther away places can do the same work that we used to expect to happen locally, and it will be to us a similar experience. So when you have closer processors in proximity to you, it will be even faster, hopefully, with more processing power, which, you know, Moore's Law, if it ever actually runs out kind of thing, we're in trouble, what I'll say.
Yeah.
Playing
Assassin's Creed over Google Project Stream is a good show of how latency has changed, where it feels like you're playing it right on the computer locally when it's all actually streamed into a Chrome browser. I've got one more app door, and that's it for my tank. So I'm going to bring that, and then I'll let you empty your tank after that. How's it sound?
Okay. And that video was still going in the Play Store, just to, you know, let you know. It's literally the guy coding it is what it looked like.
Oh, the video. Okay. Oh, you started. Okay. I'm bringing a game. This is called Simulacra Pipe Dreams, and it is by Kagan Games. It's a simulation game. It's kind of a spooky, weird game about a Flappy Birds game, and then it kind of will take your phone over, and you are virtually typing to people in a different kind of chat with different kinds of friends, but it makes it feel like this is your phone that you're using. The only way you can tell the difference is because, like, the icons, the home button looks like it's from Android 3.1 or something at the bottom. But it helps you. I think that helps you know that it's not all real and totally freaking you out. I haven't got really far in it yet, but It's a free game, and it's a different kind of thing. I've seen games like this before, somewhat, where it takes you through a story using your phone, but this is more visual, I guess I would say right off the bat.
Yeah, I'll say one of the things I saw that I love is the fact that they do the classic put your finger on the screen for the fingerprint reader thing that we used to always say was like a, you know, completely fake app. We literally made fun of apps that did that back in like the first year of the show. Well, now with the 6T, it's real kind of thing in you know, this country, because you know, the people with the 6T at work, I see them put their thumb on the screen, and I see around the screen, around their thumb, light up really bright, and then their phone unlocks. And in this game, essentially game spoofs that, but it's actually real now, which I think is kind of funny. These games are also available on the Switch in some degree, but they're literally like $14-15 a pop. My son, my oldest son, was at least interested in them just because they were so different. So there is an entire genre of game where basically all it is the mobile phone interface. And you have to do mystery, discovery, drama through that interface. And if they're good, they can pull off stuff like comedy as well. So this is, and they call it simulation. No, there's a more accurate word for this, and I can't think of what I've heard it, but it's weird is what I'll say. But I like the idea just because it is different. It's not Galaga. It's not a third person shooter. It's not PUBG. It's not that game that's dead now. Oh yeah, Fortnite. It isn't any of that. It's different.
And the little game that's included in it the story starts with this little game, and it's called Flappy Bird, but it's called Flap P Bird. So the bird pees on stuff as you're flying through the tubes or whatever. It's just a funny little take on it. But I've played other games where it like calls you on your phone. It gives you a hint or a weird cryptic message or something like that. You know, it's kind of freaky.
Right. Yeah, I'll say I don't like using my phone to like answer phone calls and stuff. So as long as it doesn't do that part, I guess I'll be okay.
Just don't answer it.
Oh, no.
Let it leave voicemail.
I don't know if the game would let me. But the icon for the game, the avatar for the game, the album art for the game, however you want to put it, is, I don't know, scary, weird, crazy. Because that was the only reason why I knew that I saw this game. This is very unique artwork here.
Yeah, it's like his mind is being scrambled, looks like.
Something like that. And he looks like stressed or in pain or something. I don't know.
I'm going to keep playing with it. Now that I'm especially stuck inside because of the snowfall, I can't go outside and do any augmented reality games, so I'll check this one out for a while and see if it freaks me out to the point that I uninstall it or end up enjoying it.
Gotcha. I'm going to bring this one, and it's only because I found out this last week the true separation in Android when it comes to stuff like Google Assistant, Google Now, Google Reminders kind of thing, and how on the older Android devices, you literally cannot install Google Assistant. There are certain voice actions you can do, but there are other things you just cannot do. So I was looking for things that I could use on new stuff, get equal functionality, but still also use that same thing on older hardware. And I couldn't find that like perfect sweet spot is what I'll say. But this one, I honestly found at least very visually appealing. It appeared to do at least some of what I needed to do. So I ended up using it only for like 2 or 3 days, and then my phone came in, and then I haven't had a chance. I still don't have all the apps back on the device or all the apps that I have installed configured even. I've only had it running for about a day. But this one's called 3.do, the quickest reminders, tasks, and to-dos by Paul Danny Luke. Productivity app, 88 installs, E for everyone, offers in-app purchase, no ads, and free to download, 4.5 average reviews, updated October 15, 2018, 2.2 megs in size, 2.2 megs in size, 5,000 plus installs, current version 1.0, you need 5.0 Android or newer. So I guess on the tablet I had 5.0, that's what I guess. And this is just a simple way to keep track of reminders and to-dos, and I thought it was very graphically, easily colorful, identifiable. It almost looks like Oh man, I can't remember what it was called. The board in Silicon Valley with the post-it notes, the different color post-it notes.
Oh, I don't remember.
I can't remember what it's called. But that's what it, to me, that's what it was like. And it was at least a fine way to keep things organized, especially if you wanted to try some hyper organization is the way I'll put it. Like literally keep track of things that are you're going to do in the next hour, 2 hours, 6 hours, 10 hours.
I'm going to install this because I've been finding myself writing a lot of stuff down on a little piece of note paper lately because it's just been getting so busy. I'm having a hard time keeping it together. So I will install. I don't understand how it can be faster than Google. Okay, Schmoogle, it says. How it could be faster than that when you actually have to tap. It says, set a reminder in a few taps, just a few seconds. Faster than typing, faster than OK Schmoogle. It's not the same as OK Schmoogle.
It can't be the same as that, but I will say this, Eric. Since its inception of OK Google, there's one thing that I can tell you I know with absolute assuredness, which is bandwidth is everything, but also... You cannot count on any consistency with anything cloud-based like the Google Assistant. And what I mean by that is, for instance, as soon as I pull away from my house in any vehicle, as soon as I start to physically move away, if I say, okay, Schmoogle, and anything, it doesn't matter what I say, the device will just lock up for 30, sometimes 60 seconds, maybe a touch more. And that's because there's a change in my data from Wi-Fi to mobile, and it's too stupid to realize and to either resend the debate of the quest or gracefully even time out and then resend it. No, it just fails. But secondarily, when you're on a very, very, very slow connection, you will literally get different results in your result set. I've had when I have really low bandwidth, I say navigate to and it will not work. But if I say locate, it would locate it and then I could click navigate to. And because I did it in two separate processes, it worked. And I literally sat there for 5 minutes canceling it, then trying it again, saying navigate to and it would not work. And then doing locate and then clicking it and it worked. And then quit and then do it again. I literally did it for 5 minutes because the amount of bandwidth was so low. The entire request could not come up or down. Or consistency is something you will never get out of these web-based services, these cloud-based services. What I mean by that is I say, okay, Schmoogle, play news. Well, there was a solid 3 months spent where it would not replay the same news segment I already heard until I went through every possible piece of content. And then only after I went through every single piece of content, it would then replay the last of everything in my news stream, which is literally like 60 things long. But now for the last couple of weeks, doesn't matter. It always replays everything, which sucks. The differences I see from my last device to this device are apparent because I spend a fair amount of time in the Google assistant. Like on my Honor 8, I was able to say, okay, Schmoogle, play news. And I was able to speed it up to 3x. On this device, no news is faster played than 2x. Why? Because I don't own the data. I don't own the stream. I don't own the code. I don't own the interface. I'm relinquishing all that to Google, and that's what they decided is the right way to do it. It is the Appleification of Google products that I see when I really dig in deep to these Google products.
Yeah, no, I think we've all experienced the lag in the web services in that area. I feel your pain there, and It gets annoying, right. and finding alternatives to that kind of stuff is good.
Right. And I'll say this, Eric, I just gave my son a very small Moleskin or Moleskin A, little book, blank pages to write stuff down. And I gave him one of these pens,
the Zebra.
To me, Eric, these pens are the best pen I've ever used. We say Zebra. I believe these are actually produced in a country where they actually pronounce it Zebra.
Okay.
So I'll say, I guess it's called Zebra. This is an F103 Mini, which is literally a half length pen. And then when you flip it around, it's a full size pen. This to me is the most perfect pocket pen I've ever had in my life. And I've literally had it to where I own one of these. And for 2 years, it still has ink in it because I just pull it out and sign my name.
Yeah, I use that same pen now. You got me on it. I don't use the exact same one, but I use the full-size click version of it. They're nice.
Right. Well, they have three main ones. They have this one, which is split in half and it's inverted, so it's its own case. They have the second one, which is just a little bit longer than this. It's all metal and it has a little push button at the end. They also have a mechanical version of that where you take off the button and there's a eraser under it. It's really small, really nice. And then they have the one that's almost a full length pen, just a little bit thicker than the actual ink. Zebra F103 to me is the best damn pen ever made. I'm not going to say it's better than a gel, whatever, but just so pocketable.
If you like a thin pen, that's a good brand to go with. Some people don't. Some people don't like, you know, I sell pens as a fundraiser, and some people don't like the thin ones, and I've got the big fat ones with the flashlight in the end. People like them sometimes, too.
Right. Well, yeah, and the pen is not waterproof. I know there are people who get, like, army or military-type pens where the actual pen itself is also waterproof. I don't go swimming with this in my pocket, so I don't need that right now. But, yeah. So that was it for all your apps, Eric?
That was my take. What else do you have in yours?
Okay. I'm going to bring one more, and this is a game, and the main reason I'm bringing this game is because I really do think when I bring games, it's one of three things is what I'm going to say. One, it just clicks with the nostalgia. Nostalgia is a drug. It needs to be bottled and sold because it would make a lot of money. It's either that. It's either, I think, dramatic in some way or form because it's so different, kind of like your phone game, or it's just visually very, very appealing, and which usually just means better graphics than the norm. This, to me, is an example of the third, which is just better graphics. It's called Samorist 3 by Amida Design Adventure, Everyone 10 and Up, Editor's Choice, 7,500 reviews, $4.99 to buy. There is a demo version in the store. I will make sure the link in the notes is to the demo version. 4.7 average reviews. It is eligible for the family library. Updated September 8th, 2018. Only 15 megs in size, which blows me away by looking at these graphics. Over 100,000 installs. Current version 1.4686 requires Android 4.1 and up. I really do encourage people to at least click on the link in the notes. You should always look at the notes. You should look at the notes of every show. That's a little indicator to me, the listener, of how much work is being put into this show, honestly. But look at the video for this game, and you will say, I have not seen a game look like this. Is the only thing I'm guaranteeing that you're going to say.
Yes, this is... every screenshot is an amazing work of art. And I can't believe that this is a game that you had actually... You know, other than just looking at the pictures, that you actually get to manipulate these worlds that somebody has put together here. Wow.
Yeah, it's just gorgeous. I'm going to try to load it on the Chromebook Flip and see if I can get it working on there. Because to be honest, there's a couple games that when I load on that device just seem to be like really made for it. And here's what I'll say, Eric, ready? More hardware news. Do you see the hear about the Samsung thing?
The folding phone? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing. If anybody even remotely pays attention, you would have noticed less than 36 hours earlier, another company at a, I believe it was Japanese or it might have been Thai tech show, showed off their foldable phone. Much more up close. Much more up close than the Samsung one. They look basically kind of the same-ish, which is just huge blocky prototypes.
Well, it was weird because he kind of mentioned that. He goes, well, this isn't what it's going to look like. We've got the bezels and, you know, the edges covered up now until, you know, we're ready. So that was kind of odd that they would have a really blocky case on top of it just so they weren't giving away anything. Like, how many people are in competition with you right now on this folding phone design that you would not want to show it?
I tell you, Eric, it wasn't that long ago. Fingerprint readers behind the screen was literally fiction.
True. That's true.
It was less than a year ago, I'll say, maybe a year-ish ago. And now we have at least two or three devices out in the real world with this on it. If you listen to people like Tank Girl, Mobile World Podcast, whatever, Tank Girl, with no vowels, Tank Girl, she's touched all those phones that we don't get in the U.S. We get crap in the U.S. Let's just cut to the chase. And, you know, she was shocked at how well some of them work and some of them don't work. Supposedly, Samsung is going to release one next year. Two other companies are trying to do it. So they're literally trying to get that buzz, that first to market buzz. And Google announced today that they're putting out versions of the Play Store of the, with the Android Development Toolkit, to have built in much more features that are more realistic towards folding devices. So we had in the last 48 hours or so, two companies showing off folding phones with bendable screens, and Google announced that they're going to support it in their development kit as well. I'll say this, Eric. This might be the revitalization or the reincarnation of tablets.
Yeah.
Because, you know, everything that every tablet manufacturer learned in doing tablet UI and doing tablet stuff is now actually have the ability to pay it off. Because just like they say, what's the best camera that you own? The one that you have on you. If you already have a tablet on you by de facto, because what you have is a phone that folds out into a tablet, that makes the idea of the tablet be much more accessible.
And I like the idea of a flip phone or a folding phone again, because, you know, this glass candy bar that I didn't get a tempered glass screen protector is scratched up. And if I can fold it onto itself and the screen is never exposed to my keys or any other parts of anything that's in my... What do you mean?
It's the other way around. It's going to be nothing but screen exposed when it's closed.
Oh.
The screen is not on the inside, it's on the outside.
That's not the way it should fold.
Well, then when it's closed, you see nothing.
Yeah, and that's what I would want. I would want it to be closed and I see nothing. Maybe have a clock on the outside or something with notifications, a little smaller 2x2 LCD screen. No, maybe slight colors, but the big screen being folded inside of itself, on the inside, protecting itself. And the chat room wants us to mention before we close up the show, if that OpenCV app that you brought earlier does work offline. That's good.
That's
to know.
Awesome. I would have put money against it.
That's why they wanted us to know that.
I would have. Very cool. That's awesome. Yeah, I've Richard's trying to get it working correctly on a Raspberry Pi type form factor because he wants to do license plate identification for cars coming on his property. And what he really wants to do is put one right at his front door, so whenever it sees his wife or his daughter or him, it unlocks his door. Which I'll say, if he figures that out, he gets a hell of a lot of credit, because that doesn't sound...
I'm going to get a Richard Hughes mask.
On any platform.
It doesn't seem speechless. Like Richard would have that many cars. I think I Google Earthed his house before, and he doesn't really seem to be in an extremely urban area that he would have a lot of cars coming into his yard.
He's not, but he did catch a mailman like driving on his lawn. It was some guy doing, I think, an Amazon delivery. I want to say it was a postal service, and they literally rode on his lawn. And when he called up, because he, you know, called up to complain, they didn't take very...
Oh, so maybe it was like the Sunday USPS guy who's actually delivering for Amazon, because USPS only delivers on Sunday for them.
It wouldn't shock me if it was something like that. All I know is he wasn't very happy, and I can't blame him. See, there's always a downside. I have a camera pointing at the front of my house. You know, maybe I'll catch some crime happening on the street. No, more than likely what I'll find is something I don't like. It just makes me mad, but it ain't a crime.
Richard. Yeah. Get off my lawn, Richard.
Yeah.
I haven't talked to that guy for a while. I need to visit with you guys some night, some Thursday or Friday night or something.
Well, he's still around and he's still doing stuff, and he literally just sent me a thing today on VMware ESX. A guy in, I think it was Germany, showing off ESX, the server itself, running on a Raspberry Pi, which if they, ESX loves the idea of making lots of frigging money, like money on top of money on top of money. They would love to be able to sell a company a piece of hardware that where the main board is a Raspberry Pi with some storage hanging off of it, and sell it to them for a couple hundred thousand, and companies will buy it. You know, they like money too. Maybe we should all hang out sometime.
But there's still ESXi is the name of that.
Yeah. And there's still more. VMware is not standing still, is what I'm going to say. They are doing everything in their power to remain unbelievably relevant for the next, you know, 18, 24 months. IBM purchasing Red Hat, Amazon making more money than ever, I'll say this, we live in interesting times, at least as far as technology and businesses are concerned.
I was just reading about a new Raspberry Pi clone or whatever that just came out, 6 cores, $49. I can't remember. But then I went to look at to order one, and it had all these options, and I never really actually found the $49 one. There's like a B version that had Wi-Fi built in and all this stuff. I don't know. Anyway, Dor, do you have anything else for the good of the show before we read off? Do you have a list of the apps we brought this week? And do you have anything?
I have a list of all the stuff. I'll just say, you know, interesting week. Things always getting changed and move around and updates. We can never seem to guess what any of these damn companies are doing. Google is definitely doing everything they can to make sure we are good Google resources.
I would have to say I'm still all in with the Google being a resource. Probably going to throw a couple more Google devices in my house this holiday season. More scared about it every day. I mean, I've always been a bit paranoid. That hasn't went away. And I don't have the warm fuzzies any, probably less every day than I did. But yeah, that's what you got to do. The door wouldn't let me on the show if I didn't have an Android. Wouldn't really make sense, would it?
Well, I mean, we as Americans prize convenience over a lot of other things. And I'll say there's a lot of companies out there that could be doing this, and there's a lot of other companies I would share even less information
Agreed.
With.
Agreed, yes. We could all have Facebook phones, and then it would be a great world for others.
Yeah. Yeah, and like Google still has not had a real defined breach, you know, kind of thing. They haven't had something horribly bad happen to them. So they're at least doing something right, or maybe it's like the Mongols, and every time they get breached, they catch the guy in like less than 12 hours, then present him with a offer that he can't refuse. You know, here's, you know, $1 million. Come work for us. Show us what you did. Teach us how you did it, and then do some more stuff. It wouldn't shock me. They're Google. They're rich.
Yeah, as long as they don't get rid of everything that I love that they produced and give me for free, or if they at least have a reasonable alternative for the things that they have produced for me for free that I got used to, and I don't know, they give up. They give up a lot. Yeah. A lot. They remind me of Microsoft in that way, where they give up too easily. Sometimes they don't let it. They don't let it simmer and bake itself into, you know, something great. Oh, I did have one more thing I wanted to bring. I'm sorry. Can I bring one more thing?
Yeah.
I found the future door. I need to share it.
Does it wear shades?
No. Yeah. Do you remember Vine?
Oh, no. Oh.
That great little micro video program app.
I remember hating it. Yes. Hated the people on it. Wish they would all just burn.
There was some really funny vines out there. And they weren't by the famous people sometimes. They were just by some random person who had some cool music and they did a funny thing. They're like 6 second, 13 second or something like that. Anyway, the creator of Vine is coming out with a new thing. If you want to sign up, if you liked Vines or you created Vines before and you wanted to do that again, and maybe they'll probably sell this to Facebook too in a few months and they'll kill it. But this is called Byte, B-Y-T-E, and you can find it at byte.co. And I lost my link, so I can't post it in there right now. But I came across this today, and I signed up. I even signed up as a creator just to see if they would let me in because I don't have any real creative creds. I don't know. I'm excited. I miss Vines, and there's a big year and a half area that we don't have any Vines from, and it's sad. That's what all I had for tonight, too. That was my final words.
Well, I tell you, it almost doesn't matter about their URL. It almost doesn't matter what is the base technology behind it. Is it using something like Node.js, or is it using JavaScript? Is it, you know, asynchronous stuff? None of that matters. It doesn't matter, you know, is it full screen? Is it only in portrait? Is it only in... None of that. All that matters is, you know, are they going to be able to hit that network effect of popularity and differentness and hipness, and will it like be able to create, I don't want to say meme type content.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know what I mean. Yeah, meme type. Basically meme type content. Yes.
Well, it's the stuff kind of that thing
goes
that
viral.
We,
little humans, funny things that go viral.
Right, but it's like kitschy is the only way I know how to describe it because I don't know how to describe it. You know what I mean? But it if they give people the ability to create that easily and share it seamlessly, then they have something on their hands. But if it's too easy to or too hard to get to it or too hard to share it or too difficult to figure out how to, then it's not going to do good. I don't know. They might nail something and make a lot of money.
I think they need to be as close to,
I don't know,
to Vine without, you know, breaking some kind of non-compete clause that they signed when they sold Vine or whatever. If they make it as close to that,
right,
and bring it back, they'll do fine.
I don't know. You know, it's difficult. It is very difficult. Their website is mesmerizing, but at least at one point in time, it almost looks like a naked person spinning around, but I don't know. It's weird.
I thought I saw like a heart float through.
Something's going on here. You know, I have bad eyes. And
oh, I can see what you're saying
now. And weird pattern recognition.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah. We recognize patterns, and that's, you know, whatever. Okay, cool, I guess. Yeah.
All right. Do you have an app rundown for us tonight, Dor?
Okay. I'll first say I'm not an influencer, so I don't know what to think of that app. Here's all the links that are going to be in the notes. Link to the Huawei P20 Lite device if you want to see all the specs, go over the numbers. A link to the Lenovo 8-inch smart display on sale right now. $99, normal price $199. A link to the clip from Lil Putin about AR Core. Then we go to Ingress Prime. Then we go to Hyperion Launcher. Then Google Express, shopping done fast. Then the Google Express code to get the sale. Then Otter Voice Notes, the lookup, deep learning in OpenCV for visually impaired, Simularica, something, pipe dreams. And then 3Do, the quickest reminders, tasks, and notes. And then Sar Moristo 3 Demo. I can't pronounce that one. The last but not least, Byte. BYTE.co.
Or look at my Raindar on the screen. It's gonna start snowing soon.
Dari.
It's no fun.
Well, it's better than looking like a giant avocado, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right, guys. I want to. Anything else you want to say to the folks?
Thank everyone for their support. Do not forget, search your podcast player for Podnuts, PODNUTZ. If you're feeling gracious, could you stop by maybe the Apple iTunes podcast listing and give us a review? Reviews help just as much, if not more, than emails, feedback, or contributions. Any way you can to support those who support you. Trust me when I say every content creator is appreciative.
7076 Podnut. 7076 Podnut. 7076 Podnut. Take out your phone and just call 7076 Podnut and leave us a message, and we were going to play your voice on the next show. Promise you that. Well, I won't promise you that, but I'll say we probably will. All right. Thanks for listening, guys. We will catch you next week. We might even have a full crowd of next week. We might not even get to talk next week because we'll have so many people leaving a message at 7076 Podnut that we won't even get to bring any apps. It'll just be you guys telling us about your apps. That'd be kind of a neat show, too. All right. We'll see you then.
This is Martin from Podnuts Pro. Thank you so much for choosing this podcast to be in your ears right now. Don't forget to support all the other Podnuts shows on the Podnuts Network. And we cannot do this without you. So please, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, email us at podnutspro@podnuts.com.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.